Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going this morning back to where we were last Sunday. We're not going to be talking about everything we did last Sunday, but you'll have to go back, and I encourage you to listen to that and listen to this one here, because we're dealing with the areas. We're talking about knowledge that's going to overcome. This subject we talked about last week is dealing with forgiveness and dealing with unforgiveness. We need to understand there's a lot of Christians that are in great bondage and have had a lot of trouble in life because of this. And some of the people, from the standpoint of because what is taught about it, there's a lot that's not taught scripturally. Not as men's ideas and man's things about it. Is one of the things that the Lord has dealt with me today, has dealt with me about this. I shouldn't say today, but has dealt with me about this, was one of the facts that people have come today to this whole idea about, you know, everybody's going to heaven and all this kind of, all the crazy, you don't have to ask God to forgive you, you're already forgiven. It's because of false teaching in the church. And it is very prevalent. In fact, I haven't heard hardly anybody teach accurately on the subject of what the Bible says. Very seldom. And most Christians don't do it according to the Bible and think they're doing it. They think, oh, you know, I'm and he ain't. You ain't doing it till you did what the Bible said. Doesn't matter what Ed believes about it. Don't matter what somebody else said. I always appreciate Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin says, it don't matter, you know, what I say. He said, you look at the Bible to see if it says what I said. Mm-hmm. He said, you make sure it does. Look at the Bible. Make sure it's saying it. Why? It's for your benefit. Here's one of this is an area of subject where Satan has been able to get to a lot of Christians on, and a lot of good Christians on, because of wrong teaching. There ain't nothing more than Christians walking around feeling guilty when he ain't done nothing wrong, but they've been preached they did wrong. What was wrong was the preacher. That's what was wrong. It's, we have this tendency, and it's one of the things that this goes back many years. This goes back to a few years after I was born again, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to read the letters in the New Testament. I want you to look at them. Read them. Don't read them as, you know, chapters and verses. Go through. Read things in their context. When I started doing that, I started getting revelation. I started coming on to things. I said, Lord, I've never heard anybody ever talk about this stuff. I've never heard these things. We have most of our teaching today is one scripture, boom, one scripture, boom, one scripture, boom. There may be truth there, but you know, it's by two or three witnesses let every word be established. Yep. And this is what you need to do. You need to go down and look at it. You know, this week here, and I've been going to this subject, and I did a lot of things, have notes and stuff. This year, the Lord brought to my mind more scriptures dealing with this, of things he brought to me as to verify what he showed me to teach. I mean, all kind of things out of scriptures, from Old and New Testament. I'm thinking, all this stuff lines up together. All this stuff lines up. Well, see, God wants you free, and not, you know, especially the areas, you know, Christians can't even, don't even forgive themselves, and they can't forgive themselves because they really don't know what the Bible says about forgiveness. They think they're doing something wrong. They think they're messed up when they didn't. And when they messed up, they don't know it. It's a mess. And you need to walk free, because in this area, Satan really gets to people. He gets to them. He hounds them. They live a whole life out, never really having a great confidence toward God. They're weak in their faith and stuff. And you know, they know things that God wants to bless them, but they can never quite get a hold of it. And so we want to see what the Bible says. And I want you to know this going in. You as a Christian have the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Don't ever lie out of your mouth and ever say you can't forgive somebody for something. Because that is a big lie, and your lie is going to get you in a lot of trouble, because the devil's now, you got in his camp. He's the father of lies. Every Christian has the ability to forgive. Every one of them. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We can forgive. The real Ed, my flesh sometimes don't want to, but the real Ed always wants to. The real Ed gives his flesh a hard time if he thinks in another direction. We can all forgive. You don't ever. I refuse to ever say out of mouth, I can't forgive. I will not say that. Because I ain't going to lying, and I ain't setting myself up for trouble. Amen. I'm not going to do that. Don't do it. Speak about who you really are and what you really are. You'll rise up to it. You keep saying the wrong thing, you're going to have the wrong thing in your life. And you can't blame the devil. You can't blame other people. You're the problem. Say what the Bible says about you. Say that. It's true. You know, you're righteous. Say, well, I did something wrong. I don't care. You're still righteous. Because you're righteous, you can confess your sin and He's faithful and just to forgive you. Well, that's because you're righteous. The sinners can confess their sin all they want. It still don't get them nowhere. Wow, they got to change their nature. Your nature's changed. You are righteous. That's why you can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. You know those times you need mercy? Have you ever been there? I've been there quite a few times. And so you go there, the whole point. I can go boldly. Why? Because I'm righteous. I may have had an unrighteous act, but the real me is not unrighteous. See, it's a whole different thing to have an unrighteous act and actually being unrighteous. See, there's an area it's not taught either. Christians think because they get in the flesh and do something wrong that now they became unrighteous. You didn't become unrighteous. Your acts became unrighteous. Unrighteous acts can cause you problems. And that's why we want to confess that, because we want to get that fleshly stuff cleared up. Why? So we can live in that righteousness we have. That's what you want to do. Glory to God. So we're going to talk about these things. We're going to go back over. I want to read to you again. We're going to go back down through this. Because one of the things we're going to deal with this about forgiveness, dealing about the areas of motives, why we forgive, the purpose of forgiveness. It's not just to bless you and me. It's to bless others. And so we want to see this in Matthew, the 18th chapter, and verse 15 makes this statement. Matthew 18, verse 15. This is Jesus talking, so I consider this as being right. I consider Him the authority on this, and if anybody else has another opinion, you can just give that to somebody else if you'd like to. I'll be taking this one. Jesus said, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. Now, this is important of what it is. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus made this statement. In other words, if you go to that brother, he does something. It is to get this thing cleared up. He says, why? You gain a brother. This is the purpose. Why do we deal with people who have sinned? See, the church don't. The church never deals with Christians that have sinned. And this is why. They don't really love them. They're full of the unlove. They're full of men's psychology. The reason we want people to get straight is because if they sinned, we want to get them back in fellowship. You need to understand this. If a Christian sins against another Christian, he didn't just break fellowship with that Christian, he broke fellowship with God. Amen. See, 1 John 1:9, we always use it, and we use it wrongly. We always use it just to confess, to ask God to forgive you. No, 1 John says you confess your sin. If you have a sin against to a brother, you need to confess it to him. You can confess it to God all day, but you got to go confess it to the person that you sinned against. To sin against a brother is to sin against Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen. Preach.
See, we don't deal... This is why the body of Christ don't see themselves as Christ. We're just these people down here trying to get along. We're the body. We're Christ in the earth.
Amen. Preach.
People answer to the body in the earth. And their answer to the body determines how Jesus looks at it. You don't get away with stuff with the body, and you and Jesus are good friends. It's broken fellowship. When you break fellowship with the body, you will break fellowship with Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about it. 1 Corinthians. Jesus didn't throw the guy out of the church in the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians. He told him the church had to remove it. The church was the authority. When the church put him out, God put him out. Mm-hmm. Until the church did it, God didn't do it. This is why sin stays in the church. We don't want to correct people. We want to correct people for this standpoint. We want them to get back in fellowship with God.
Right.
If you love them, you don't go to them and just go, well, they did that to me. Well, don't act in that fleshly unforgiveness. So what? They did that to you. Go and try to get them to get back in fellowship with God again.
Amen. Preach.
That's what you need to do.
Preach.
See, people don't do... No, you hurt my feelings. Oh, shut up, hurt your feelings. Get yourself over. Be concerned. I'm concerned that individual. You don't want to keep going this direction. I'm okay. You can call me anything you want. Dear Lord, I give you names you can call me. My God. You know, it don't matter. What matters is this. You're breaking fellowship with the body of Christ. And when you do, you're out of fellowship with Christ. You're in trouble. The devil now has access to you and things. So what we want to do, we want restoration. The whole point, you gain the brother. That's what it is. So we're not trying to get people to repent, because if they don't, I've had Christians come to me over the years and say, well, so and so, they did something and they won't correct it, and they're sort of whining about it. Oh, shut up. You're going to whine a lot in life if you're worried about somebody doing something against you. You're going to have a lot to whine about, I want to tell you. We've sure hardened over a number of years at Biden. I listen to the Christians whine and whine and whine. Every little thing hurt their feelings. You know, it don't surprise me sinners act like hell. But it surprises me the church does.
Yeah. Come on.
It is. You know, I ain't surprised a sinner say go see something ugly to me. You know, say, my God, say, hey, he acts just like I used to. See, I know where that's coming from. I lived under that spirit. But see, make sure that your motive is right about forgiveness. Why are you asking, going to your brother about it? Is it just about you and your hurt feelings? Now, this is your brother. Let's get this straight. We want to be walking in fellowship with God together. This is what we want to do. This is the church. We want to fix it. So God comes along, and Jesus Christ says himself. Now he says, verse 16, but if he said he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. In other words, the person may not feel they did wrong. And you know what? I've had this already where somebody thought they were wronged, and they weren't wronged. They were in the wrong. You take somebody, this is what most people don't like to do. They like to go blab to everybody else what a person did to them, but they don't tell the whole story. They don't go and say, you say to them, well, let's go talk to this person. And they said, I don't want to do that. No. Well, if you don't want to do it, don't ever come and talk to me about it.
Amen. Preach.
Don't ever come and talk to me about it. Because this is what we do. We're going to do the word.
Amen.
And we're going to, by two or three, we're going to find out, is this so? And if he did wrong, or maybe you did wrong and you need to repent. Maybe we got two wrongs. You ever have that? Both of them are wrong in what they did. And so both of you got to repent. And so you always find out who is really spiritual and who ain't. Sometimes the people did the most whining were the less spiritual. And sometimes people get their feelings hurt, and they don't need to be. Their brother didn't do, you know. He said, "Well, they called me a name. Yeah, good. I do too. So I'll call you one. What anyway, is this what I'm gonna do? This ain't the things you do to go get all of that stuff. You know, it is people get out there. Anything serious, nobody wants to deal with. Stupid. Yeah, let's make a big deal out of it." When you go over to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, Paul lists things there that really things, the major things that breaks fellowship in the church and with Christ. And let me just read this in the 5th chapter. We need to know, we're not dealing with trivia things in here. He's talking about, in the 5th chapter, he says there in verse 9, he said, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. He said, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. You need to leave. But he says, I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat as much with that person. You don't eat with that person. See, there's people, if they don't repent of things, these are the majors. He didn't sit down there, you know, somebody said something I didn't like, and then we need to understand. Now, one of the guys we got there, a reviler, lots of times people operate. Revilers are people we need to, most people don't know what that's about. That's a person who's very abusive in language, and they will use things to try to force people into doing what they want to do. They belittle people. They do things and that kind of stuff. These are people that they're very manipulative, and they use they're people who don't, you know, not nice about people and around people. And the church has these folks around. a lot. And they're never getting dealt with. You know, well, you know, he just, this person, yeah, they're like that. Well, you just got to love them. Yes, I love them and ain't eating with them. That's how I'm going to love them, because that's what God said. Mm-hmm. But see, first of all, with those people, you go to them about this. First of all, and you go tell them. See, Jesus laid down. We were just reading back in Matthew where Jesus was telling them, we go. So what happens? You go to that individual, does it? You take someone else to that individual. Well, it went on to verse 17 back in Matthew 18, and it said this. It says, if he refuses to hear, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now let me say this. When he talks about heathen tax collector, let's say as Christians, how do we deal with the sinner? Do we hate them? Do we don't like them? You know, we love them. But they're not the people we fellowship with. That doesn't mean, you know, Paul talked about, you know, that somebody was not a Christian. He said they invited your home to eat, go, and don't ask about what's put on the table and stuff. That doesn't mean from the unsaved. But we need to understand this. If we got a Christian is in this thing, we don't break fellowship concerning things like going to eat with the world. But Christians need to understand this. God is interested in restoration of the Christian. You can't deal with the world like you deal with church. You know, the world that causes you problems, you know, you don't run around crying. You just forgive them, walk away. What are you going to do? You know, we don't. But the church, we do. Why? Because God wants that person back in fellowship. That's what happened over in 1 Corinthians. That guy's immoral. Put him out. God told him why. They're fellowshipping. You understand this. If you fellowship with the people you're in, Christians, you ain't supposed to be, don't be surprised the devil gets into your life. Don't be surprised. No, you need to look at people and say, no, I ain't putting up with that. I've told people already, your spirit ain't going to hang around with me. You're yielded to stuff, and it ain't right, and I ain't being a part of it. You know, you want to play in another camp, go play in another camp, but I can't. I love you. Hey, if you repent, I'll be the first guy to say, praise God, you know, you're fine. Amen. I'll be the first to do that. See, we need, and this is, we have to have it. We went on, you know, we looked at the scripture in verse 18 of Matthew 18. It says, surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, we talked about that last week. In other words, the authority concerning the church, these things are dealt with on this side. We're always trying to get heaven to deal with it. See, Paul told the church at Corinth, hey, you guys got to deal with this thing. You deal with it. See, the church, we keep trying to throw everything over on God and don't realize, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people would have got restored if the church would have handled properly. Numbers of years ago, though, this happened. I'll never forget. It was a thing, it was on the news and stuff. In the Amish community, one of the Amish communities down in Lancaster County, they had a guy who was a reviler, and he was. I read about him a thing. I mean, this guy was just terrible concerning his family. In the church, he was nothing but trouble with his mouth, running his mouth about everybody and everything, running everything down. And so he wouldn't straighten out, and they put him out. And all of a sudden, down Lancaster, all these pastors, these wonderful, God-fearing people, oh, they shouldn't have done. They need to love him. They did. Those pastors, I'm going to tell you what, there is more bad teaching among the people who have or so-called know the Bible that don't know the Bible at all.
Amen. Preach.
And on the love subject, I'm serious. Most of the time I don't pay attention to even most ministers talking about love. I don't know what the Bible says about it. They have their ideas about love. Love is about restoration. God, you got saved because of God's love of restoration. You didn't get saved. Did it cost Jesus something to get you saved? See, he laid down what his problem was and whatever else was going on to save us. And it's just like us. You know, to restore people, it might cost you a little bit of your ego. It might cost us. And the church will not pay that price. We do over this fake love thing. Oh, we just forgive them. We're going to just walk away. And the person never gets restored. Because why? We really don't love them. We say we do. What we do is we love ourselves. We don't want to get out of here and get into anything that might, you know, make me feel uncomfortable, because I'm in the comfort Christians of America. You know, that's what I belong to. Yeah. But I got to be comfortable or I'm not happy. No, we got to restore people. And we got to do it. It's not because they did some. Let's tell them, say, man, we don't want our brothers. We don't want the devil attacking our brothers. You know,
Amen.
He attacks the church. It affects the church.
Amen.
It's the body of Christ. You know, do you have a part of your body you're having trouble with? Is it fun? Why are you believing for healing? Let it go. Wouldn't it be a discomfort to waste your time to try to believe to get that thing fixed? No, I want my whole body working right.
That's right.
When one part ain't working right, it brings discomfort to the whole body. If you're not discomforted about what goes on in the body and the trouble, not fixing it, you're part of the trouble in the body.
There it is. Say it again.
Woo! Can the boy preach? I'll
That's
tell you.
That's right. That's right.
I'm concerned about it. I want people. Boy, we need some restoration. We need preach. This is not to get after anybody. It's like, this is, you know, the more the Lord shows me this stuff is freedom. It's my God. You know, the thing of it is, we're not holding forgiveness from anybody. They hold it from themselves. We have the authority to bind or loose. And we need to know it. Number one, we bind if a person doesn't want to repent. We want to bind them because we don't want that spirit operating, hurting the rest of the body. I was in a church where a pastor would not deal with a woman in the church, started living with a guy. She was a member of the church. And he didn't want to, because, yeah, some people get touchy about it. And then after about a year or so, he started complaining because there's a couple girls got pregnant in the church. And he was complaining, and I went to him and told him I didn't want to. He made mention from the pulpit. I told him to his face. I said, I want to hear you ever talk about that again. I said, you're the reason that happened. You wouldn't deal with that spirit. Now they're here. And I said, you'll stand guilty before God one day unless you repent. And he never repented to the congregation. I hope he did get something fixed because he's at fault. He allowed that spirit in the church.
Preach.
There's sin, certain types of sins have major spirits behind them.
That's right.
And if you fellowship with it, you're fellowshipping with that spirit. That's where I've seen a lot of so-called Christian parents. They even get their older kids say that they're Christians, but they're living like hell, like crazy. And they just fellowship with that kid. I always watch those parents have trouble in their life. Always got trouble in their life. They always got things the devil's able to get at them. No, once you call yourself a Christian. Paul wrote to the church, read over in 1 Corinthians there. He talks about if anybody, he makes a statement about anybody. Once a person calls a so-called, he used the term in the New King James, he said, a so-called Christian. Once a person calls himself a Christian, you have a right to deal with them.
Right.
See, people say, don't judge. Over in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. He said, if you have so-called Christian, then he went on to explain about that individual that was immoral. You need to understand this. When a person calls himself a Christian, they say, well, we don't judge. Well, I'm going to tell you, don't judge. Go ahead, let it go. That's one of the truth. There's loads of sick and dead Christians because of refusal to deal with these things.
Amen.
They said, well, I didn't sin. Yeah, but you let sin go. You hung around it. You hung around that stuff, and those people were doing things that have spirits, and you're fellowshipping with it and stopping saying, hey, hold it. I'm going to tell you, it's just my kids. If my kids were out doing that kind of stuff, I don't care what. I'd tell them, say, you're Christians. If you ain't going to live like that, don't come visit Daddy. You get that thing straight. And I do it, why? Because I love them. But see, they ain't going to bring their trouble to my house.
Amen.
That spirit ain't coming. See, this is why we deal with these things. Immorality. You know, I was a kid. You know, people that were immoral, they didn't come to, Christians that were immoral didn't come to church. Oh, today, it's filled with them. The pastors are. It's filled with it. We love each other. No, we love spirits. We love the flesh. We love... You know, when somebody is immoral, you didn't have to throw them out of the church. They knew to leave. They knew that if they didn't quit it, don't come back. Nobody would throw rocks at them to get them to go. They knew. They knew things were not allowed. There were standards. The reason there's no standards in the church today. And I don't blame the people. What happened? It's a lousy teaching. And the people don't realize the danger of fellowship with certain types of sin. The danger. It's dangerous. The people doing certain things. And, you know, I just had to talk to a person who considered themselves a Christian, involved in a thing. And I just told them right out, this Bible says about this.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, you know, they were really stunned. They said, well, yeah, I must not be following the Bible. I said, yeah, you sure not. Mm-hmm. So the Bible has opinions on things, and you say, I'm a Christian, but you don't even know what Christian's about.
Amen.
Christianity is not the freedom to sin, because sin brings death. You ain't going to live a healthy life if you don't learn how this life works. As I said to the guys, you know, yesterday, I said, you know, the Satan is an expert at doing his job, at stealing, killing, and destroying. He is an expert. There's nobody better than him. He's at the top of his game. And then most Christians are at the bottom of the game. We got to be at the top of our game.
Amen.
And if you are, you can stop everything he does. The church doesn't. They think love is letting all this stuff go on and let things happen and we're just being nice to each other. How many people you ever see just living in a bunch of sin and stuff and everybody's nice to them and never deals with it? They correct themselves.
Right.
No. They never. They say, oh, our love will reach them. When's it going to happen? We do their funerals and it never happened.
That's right.
They call that reaching people. Well, the Bible has a different idea of it. And that's, you know, people say, yes, we love Jesus, but we don't like what he says.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a distance. Like Mike said, just, they like the one, the picture with the lamb. That's what, carrying the sheep, we like that one. That's the Jesus I like. I like the guy barefooted, carrying the sheep, has a little ukulele on his back, you know. But the church is called to use their authority to deal these things. It's in the church. It's not being mean. But number one, now a person can take it and use it to be mean, but that's something we're called to. It's about restoration. We want
Amen.
To bring people and restore
Amen.
People to fellowship with God. There's no such thing that a man is in fellowship with God and he's not in fellowship with the church. It does not exist.
Amen.
It doesn't exist. Breaking fellowship with God breaks fellowship with the church. And so we need to understand that. And if you want your faith to work, you're going to have to walk in fellowship with God.
Amen.
And you're going to have to fellowship. I realize in the church, all kind of stuff goes on and anything, but I'm in this opinion, still the best group to belong to. No matter how crazy they get, hey, I ain't leaving. I'm going to stick with the church, no matter how people, you know, thank God for people who believe the best, you know, and other things and stuff. Some people, they don't believe much, but if they do believe, they're a Christian. They're born again. They're a child of God. And I just, you know, might as well just face it now. You're going to put up with them in heaven, whether you like it. You're going to be with them in eternity. So if you don't want to spend eternity with them, there is an alternative you can do.
That's right.
I ain't picking that one. I'm just Hallelujah. So, well, and when it comes down to forgiveness, I want you to think about this as you a Christian in yourself, because we have from Matthew 18, and I'm going to jump to verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him, this is Jesus, and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He said, up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, or another 490 times. I want you to remember this. God would never ask you to forgive someone who sinned against you if he does not act in the same manner. This is what people do. If in a day I have to forgive my brother 490 times, Jesus Christ is required to forgive me if I mess up 490 times in one day. He is required. If he didn't, he said, he ain't going to forgive me. I'm going to go there and tell him, say, you ain't nothing but the devil. You ain't no different than he is. You ain't good to your word. You a liar. But he's not a liar.
Right.
See, Christians, you know what Christians will do? You know, they mess up one time. Yeah, last week I messed up. But if they messed up twice last week, oh my God, they're wondering if they got forgiven. Why? Because they don't read the Bible. They've listened to too much preaching. Read the Bible. God cannot require of you what he does not do himself. You know, it's like these parents, you know, tell their kid, do what I say and not what I do. Well, you might as well forget it. Just stay, keep your blind mouth shut.
Amen.
They're gonna follow what you do.
Amen.
See, my God is good in the doing. He ain't just wind blowing. Hallelujah. You need to get that. He forgives. You need to learn that. When he does, drop it. Mm-hmm. You drop it just like he does. When you go to him and you miss it and you repent, just drop it. Because that's what he does. And you know what? He don't stop and say, you come do messed up again. He don't stop and say, well, I just got done forgiving you, you scoundrel. He doesn't do that. He does it again. And you know what? I just want to tell you this. He's glad to do it. He's happy to do it. If anything that he does not want is anything that stands in between you and him in fellowship, he longs more for fellowship with you than you do with him.
Amen.
He loves fellowship with you. And he will forgive anything to have fellowship with you. Amen. That's why Jesus went to the cross. To have fellowship, that men could have fellowship with God. That when God would come down in the cool of the day and walk with Adam, I want to come down, I want to be with you. Amen. The end of the book, the new heaven and earth. Men don't go live with God. God comes and lives with men. God comes down and walks among men. Woo! Hallelujah! His love endures forever. Well, it's just in the same manner. We forgive. Now, I just want to say this to you. You have the ability to do that. You have the ability to forgive in that manner. You have. You know, we have a 3 strikes and you're out, probably. I mean, that would be, some people it's 1 or 2 strikes and you're out. You know, but we think 3 times would be really good. Hallelujah. But you know what? Your heart wants to do it. Your heart wants to get things cleared up. That's in your heart.
Amen.
And if we listen to our heart, we can get things cleared up. Now, we want to look at this because something that Luke wrote about that Jesus said. And we want to see this because we need to understand this as Christians. We talked about it last week, but I'm going to go over it again. He said in Luke, the 17th chapter, in verse 3, Jesus said this, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, what did he say to do? Rebuke him. In other words, tell it. If he sins against you, he said to rebuke him. See, now, this is the hard thing. Everybody, well, you know, maybe we can get the pastor to go rebuke the guy who did it. Let's get somebody else. Let's talk to the prayer team and get them to pray about this, if we can do this. You know, this is why a lot of stuff don't work, and we waste a lot of time praying and doing all kinds of stuff, and it's all a waste of time. No, it says to rebuke him. And he said, now listen, and if he repents, forgive him. You rebuke him, he repents, say, okay, that's it, okay. Glory to God, we got it straightened out. Now it's good.
Amen.
You don't ever go to somebody and talk about what he did to you. See, people get in the flesh. Your heart will forgive them. But see, people stay in the flesh. You try to keep things in their mind. People and Christians are more mind and emotion driven than they are spirit. Well, I just don't feel right about it. Personally, I don't care how you feel about it. The Bible says what it says, get over your feelack.
Amen.
Until you have the nerve to stand up and open your big mouth toward your feelings like you do other people, you ain't ever changing. I just have to stop and say, Ed, your feelings need to shut up.
Yeah.
Feelings, I've had enough today. It don't matter. You'll never talk to your feelings. They'll rule you.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
They'll rule you.
Yep.
You'll be mad about stuff all the time.
Yep. Amen.
Your feelings get mad quick.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you, you keep slapping your feelings down, after a while they get scared to rise up.
Amen.
They do.
Amen.
I'm serious. The only reason your feelings cause you a lot of trouble is because you help them cause the trouble. You cooperate with them. Say, no, it don't matter how I feel. No matter what they did, they repented. God said, forgive them. Number one, I want to walk in fellowship with God more than I want to have a bad feeling. More than I try to make. You know, there's a lot of people love to have discord. They love to feel bad about something, somebody. They love to feel that. You know, they like it. Hey, people like that. They like. You know, I've been around people. I remember one person that was very elderly. And numbers of times of knowing them brought up what somebody, this one person, did to them like 50 years ago, and it was no big deal, but still walking around, and then we'd always once in a while bring that up. You know, you just want to stop and say, shut up. What? Who cares? See, let me tell you what they did to me yesterday. It don't matter. Hey!
Amen.
Say, what? So you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I ain't paying no attention. I don't care what to do. It don't matter. It was like Brother Hagin said, I've been criticized by experts. You know. So. But he went on to say this. He said, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now I want you to understand the truth in this. You don't release your forgiveness, even though you do. You're not holding something against it, but you don't release it till they ask for it. If they do not ask for it, and well, scripturally, I can prove it. You know, did Jesus die on the cross for everybody? Did he take everybody's sin? Did he? Well, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians and told them to tell the sinner God's not holding sin against him. It tells us that man is reconciled to God. God's reconciled to everybody. Well, are they all saved?
Nope. Nope.
No, they must become reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make the change. Till they make the, you can't get, I don't care how much God loves you, he don't save you till you come.
Mm-hmm.
Does he?
No.
That's right.
What we do, we have this thing, and I said last week, where Christians do a terrible thing, and lots of times it's out of their own arrogance. And just mean. Somebody will do something against us, and they say, well, I just forgive you anyway. Well, that's just being mean. You don't release them from it. Understand this. If the church releases a person without dealing with them and releases them, God won't deal with that person. Whatever we bind or loose is done. Say, God will deal with them. No, he won't. Not if you didn't. Don't throw that out there. See, there's certain sins the church has to deal with. Not every little thing. Say, well, I forgive you. Why would you forgive them? They didn't ask for it, so they can't receive it anyhow. It didn't do a bit of good. It isn't. The whole thing is we're moving toward, we want to move toward restoration. This is where we're going. And lots of times I watch people do that, and the person didn't ask forgiveness, and maybe they didn't really do as much wrong as that other arrogant person. We say, I'll forgive you, but they really didn't do it out of the standpoint that they want restoration with that person. I want restoration with that. I want fellowship restored. We want fellowship. This is what this is about. Love is always moving toward restoration and fellowship. And sometimes to get things restored takes a little work, takes some stuff. And people don't like to do it because we have to deal with people. You know, like I want a job where I don't have to, you know, deal with people. See, and I found out you like me. That's what I wanted. You know, Lord, when God said you want to, you know, be a pastor, called me to be, he told me I was going to pastor. You know, I was just so cheerful. I said, man, I saw what happens in that stuff. I know what that stuff's like. Been around it. You know, God, can I carry a gun? You know, I won't shoot them all, just one or two. Just scare the rest of them enough so they don't mess around. I met people ready God wanted to shoot. But, you know, those are the things, but, you know, the stuff that goes on. In other words, we're dealing with people. Forgiveness You know, see, I have forgiveness is in me for everybody.
Amen.
But you know what? I don't just release it to a person till they ask for it. Now, I'm not going to, I don't care if they don't repent. I'm not going to hold it against them. I'm not going to get in a mess with them. I'm going to do that. I have forgiveness. But I'm not releasing it to them till they come and ask for it. That's what Jesus said. See, you ain't allowed to hold bitterness and things against them on that. No, you always have forgiveness toward them. They come and ask for it, then you release it to them. But they're not, don't release it to them till they come for it. Did the prodigal son get restoration while he's living in the pig pen? No, he didn't. I'll tell you, I've hardly ever heard a preacher ever preach that thing right. Oh, God's love, and he just, no, hold it. This is about salvation. Amen. Salvation. You come out of the pig pen to get saved. You come to get clean. You don't stay in the pig pen and God comes out. We teach God goes to the pig pen and he just comes and loves you and hugs on you there. No, we don't. You got to come out of the pig pen. There's repentance. See, we got to read. This is where people get today. Well, 1 John 1:9, that's talking to sinners. You know, that's talking to that. We don't have to repent. Yes, you do. Sin must always be moved away from. Lay that down. And why? Forgiveness comes natural. Forgiveness is just bang. That's what it is. I'm instant. When I was a sinner and I came to Christ, the night I accepted Christ, I confessed Jesus as my Lord. Didn't take 2 seconds for God to make me into a new creation. He immediately did it.
Amen.
But you know what? It wasn't until Ed came. He said, well, he just loved Ed so much he ran out there and saved Ed, you know. And no, Ed had to come.
That's right.
We preach the gospel to people to get it. You can't pray and get people saved. Bible says they get saved by the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. You got to preach. Mm-hmm. You can pray and pray night and day and nothing ever happened. You're going to have to open your mouth. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to have to. Somebody, you know, I mean, you listen to it. I know sometimes people aren't going to listen to me. I just pray God will send somebody across their path. I don't sit and pray night and day for that individual. I pray God send somebody across their path to talk to them. Why? They need to hear. Faith comes by hearing. Faith don't come by prayer. People prayed for me, but you know what? The Holy Ghost bare witness in me scripture. That I had heard preached. We have many people today out there ain't ever heard preached. And we're praying for them to be saved. No, pray that God will send somebody across. Jesus has already saved every one of them. He's not going to take their sin one day. He's already done that.
Amen.
We want them to receive it.
Praise God.
We're trying to get, you know, every one of you are healed of everything that you ever has wrong with you. You have been healed from the day you've been born.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
That's mine.
People say, I'm believing for healing. Why would you believe for something you already got? It's because we don't know the Bible and we're not taught it. We're taught this thing. We're trying to get things from God. I was a sinner and I need to get something from God. And when I got it, I got it all. He didn't give me half the package. He didn't get me saved and then one day I can work into the healing package. The whole package was given at one shot. I was healed of everything that I would ever have a problem with in my body when I accepted Jesus Christ. I accepted. Did you accept your healing? Most people have never done it. They've never accepted their healing. No, I've accepted my healing. It is my nature to be well.
Amen.
It is my nature to be whole.
Say that again.
That's right.
It is. Hallelujah. It's in our nature. It's your nature to be well. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. If resurrection can't heal you, Jesus is still in the tomb and it's all a lie.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
If it can raise a dead man, it can fix my limp.
Amen.
It can fix my this. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know what? All that's there, but you don't get it till you come to it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen.
You can have it and it's there. It already belongs to you. You've got to come to it. When God took the children of Israel into the land, He said to them, this land belongs to you. Every place you step your foot on is going to be yours. He didn't say, if you don't step your foot on nothing, you don't get nothing. See, I done stepped on healing mucho years ago.
Amen.
I stepped on healing and I said, this one belongs to me. Most people only step on healing. It's a temporary thing. I got a problem, so I'm going to temporarily step on it. Then I go back to my regular healing, then I'm going to step on here again. No, I'll tell you what. I have that land, and I got a deed to it.
Amen.
When I stepped on it, it's mine. Don't you mess with my healing. You're in trouble. It's my property.
Amen.
It's mine. Glory to God. The devil ain't taking it back.
Amen.
See, it's like your salvation. See, when I stepped on my salvation, nobody's ever taken it back. Nobody's going to come along and tell me, well, you might not be saved. And I just tell them, well, you might not be have too much brains in your head. Because Ed knows. See, I know I passed from death. I done stepped on death. This is my property. You can't take it from me. You get yourself in your mind. My salvation can't be taken. It's mine. I stepped on this. I got the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I'm the heir of salvation.
Amen.
This thing was given to me legally and it's mine. And so you get yourself in your mind about what belongs to you and you become very protective of it. Jesus did a lot to give this to me. I should treat it as a treasure, and we don't. I'm just going to tell you, people do too much going to the doctors.
Amen.
Do too much of it. Why? I'm going to tell you, we'd have more healing if people treated it like a treasure. I'm not being mean about this. I'm just telling you. I know myself. It's easy to get over sometimes, you things. And I stop and say, man, you know, I ain't treating God like I need to. This is... You know, he gave me this, and I'm sort of like messing around with it. See, man, this is a treasure. Jesus went to a lot of trouble that I could be whole and well. Am I really accepting it for what the treasure that it is? It's not a nice byproduct. See, let's get our thinking changed on these things. I want us to look at, we're going to go over here and we're going to look at this. Go to, in Matthew the 18th chapter. Now I want you to see this whole chapter, we're going to look at a thing here, and this is a parable given by Jesus. Now I want you to think as we read this, you're going to understand this because remember we talked about the parable of the sower. That if to understand, you understand all parables, you need to be able to fit it to this. See, I've heard, you know, preachers try to teach wealth out of here and all that. It's not what it's about. This parable is about forgiveness. And it's about seeds planted. It's about seeds planted that are either allowed to grow or you let things choke them out. This is what it's about. To the great dangers of what it does. This fits in every area. It always comes down to the kingdom of heaven is this. Words that are said and placed in your heart and how you let them produce. That's the basis of everything about the kingdom of God. You got saved through words that went into your heart and you made a confession. It's all the kingdom. That's what the kingdom's built out of. You say in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. Whatever thing you desire when you pray. Well, what's praying? Praying and saying things.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing works. It's the kingdom. If you don't understand the confession stuff and things, we're going to do some teaching on confession and things. Because people don't understand. It's the whole thing about the kingdom. It's these seeds that are planted, and you get seeds in your heart. When the seeds of the words of God get into your heart, you need to become protective. This is one thing, as I say, you've heard me do this many times. People come along and speak, boy, that there message really spoke to me. And if I say to them, did you listen to it this week? Again, no, I didn't. Why? They let those seeds get away from them. See, Satan comes immediately and steals it away.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And they think, oh, yeah, like I'm some kind of spiritual. No, you're not. I don't care if that thing spoke to you. You got to protect the words that spoke to you.
Amen.
I learned this. You got to protect them. You know what? It's easy to let words slip away. Now, see, I'm telling you because I know. I've had things where God has reminded me about that he spoke to me many years ago and said, you know, you let that go. And I stopped and say, oh, my God, you're right. I did. Those were your words spoken, and I let that get away. You know what? It wasn't producing in me. I don't care, you know, about what you heard. It's only what's in your heart's going to produce that you got in there, that you have kept and kept the weeds out. That's what's going to produce. That's what's going to produce. Now, we go on here in Matthew 18, verse 23. He says, therefore, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So in other words, this, now he's saying, this principle is like the kingdom is. This is how the kingdom is. So understand this. When the Church of Jesus Christ started, this principle never changed. I've heard people say, well, you know, that he's talking, that's Old Testament. No, it's not. He said the kingdom's like this. Well, if the kingdom's not like this, the kingdom's unchangeable. God is unchangeable. The kingdom operates like this. This is how the kingdom works. So get a hold of this. It can be your success and a blessing to others.
Amen.
And this is what we want to do. Now, he says, when he had begun to settle accounts, one was bought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Now we see the guy is willing. Now he said to him, hold it. You know, I'll pay everything. You know, you just give me time. You know, the master could have stopped there and said, yeah, okay, all right. I'm going to give you a chance to get this worked out. This is what I'm going to do. You know, that wouldn't have been a wrong thing to do. You know, he'd had mercy on the guy. Say, you know, when I said, look, I'm gonna extend you or something. We'll get this worked out. I'll work with you on this. Well, that'd have been good. Well, but we find that God went a little bit further. He said, so then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now, let's talk about this debt. Now this debt here that he owed was 10,000 talents. Now, we need to understand this about what a talent. A talent was 6,000 denarii. A denarii is one day's wage for, like, say, what would be a menial worker, like, you know, a guy who worked for a man in the fields or something like that kind of work. That is a day's wages. So what he owed was about 167 days of wages, years of wages, 168 years of wages, of one day wages he owed. So if he was just going to pay off a denarii at a time, it would take him 167 years to do it. This guy owned some bucks. This is major money. So, you know, we need to look at that. So the forgiveness is big. And I want you to get from this, because God is showing us something in this. Number one, God has spoken, this is God, the King's God. He has spoken to this man words of forgiveness. He sowed words of forgiveness into this man. See, this is the words that are sown. So he speaks words for this man's heart. Now, the forgiveness here really is a good thing for us, is the idea God forgave you and I. We got sin of greater than that, of 167 years worth of wages. Amen. And we need to do that. This is why you need to understand what people don't realize. What people talk about sin, the fact that God would forgive even the smallest sin, you need to understand this. You had no ability to get it fixed yourself on the littlest thing. Your littlest sin was so great it was unfixable to you. People say, I told a white lie. No, you told a lie that you can never fix yourself. It wasn't a little white lie. They're all demon-inspired. And a little thing is a problem. We have no ability to fix it. We have no ability to make that right between us and God other than the ability God gave us. He gave us the ability to respond to Him. And it's fixed. But you have no ability in yourself to do that. You couldn't. Man couldn't do that. So understand the greatness. When it shows the greatness of this guy's sin, man's sin toward God was worse than that. Was it your sin? I've had people say, well, you know, I didn't really realize I didn't use drugs and all that stuff. Well, I've told a woman one time, well, your self-righteousness is worse than my drug use. And it is.
Amen.
It's worse.
Right.
When you think you're justified, dear God, I don't care how well I did this week. I had a pretty good week. But I'm going to tell you, my righteousness is because of Jesus Christ. And it ain't because Ed did good. Because if Ed did any good, it was because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Self-righteousness is out. There is none. Hallelujah. So we see this guy. God's reaching out to this one here. This is a phenomenal thing. Well, it goes on. So the master of that servant, he says, move with compassion. But in verse 28 says, but that servant went out, and he said, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So that was 100 worth of day's wages. And he said, he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience on me and I'll pay you all. So, I mean, the guy said, look, I'll get this taken care of. I owe this to you. You're right. I'll get it taken care of. This guy's not willing to even do that. He's not willing to even do that. Now, I want you to understand what's going on here, the parable of the sower. He had seeds of forgiveness sown into him. What's he doing? He's doing what the parable of the sower says. One of them, see, the word gets in you, and what happens? The love of other things enter in, and one of them was the love of money. You see, his love of money done choked out those seeds of forgiveness that God spoke to him. See, he had words of forgiveness. Those seeds. But he didn't let them grow up. He choked them with his love of money. I want my money and I want it now. Right now, in the United States, this is worldwide, one of our biggest problems is the love of money. Money is driving more of what goes on in the world, in our country. You know, I'm tired of these people say, you know, well, we got to preserve the free enterprise system. I believe in free enterprise, but I'll tell you what, we got a lot of crooks in the system. We got millions and millions and millions of crooks in the system that are not doing what's right. Why? It's to make money. Money, I'm going to tell you, if you can't keep money under the control of your inner man as a Christian, you're one of the big problems in the earth. Because that spirit is dominant in nations all over. Everybody is buying. One thing you need to understand is, you ain't got money, you're not going to hold power. Our system is run on whoever has the money holds the power. Now, there's good people who have money that ain't like that. But I'm going to tell you, they are the minority. And we need to understand. See, we see this thing. This is why in a church ought to preach more onto these areas here in the church about, because God wants you to have money, but he wants you to have a right attitude about money. It's no more than a tool in your toolbox. It's not, I'm going to tell you, God would rather have you live right than be rich any day.
Amen.
Yet, you know what? He does want you rich. He does. You can't have both. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you, if you set yourself in the right direction concerning your conduct and morals and everything, money will be a thing you'll use right. You won't have to hover over this thing of money like, you know, well, we got to. No, I found this out. If I let the other things, I let the love of God dominate me and rule me, and I put the Word of God first in my life and that stuff, money holds its right position. I don't have to sit there and fight about trying to get away from, oh, loving that. I'm sorry. I'm in love with Jesus. He's just nice enough to give me money too. Hallelujah. So we want to live in the light. So he comes along. This guy goes after this guy, what he owes him. But he, in verse 30 says, he would not. He said he would not, but went and threw him in prison till he shall pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, who is this master? Who does it represent? Bill Gates? Who is it? It's God. God's the master. This is about the kingdom of heaven, the king. Who's the king of heaven? Well, after he had called him, he said to him, they went and got it, hey, they were grieved, called the man. After he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? You see, God had the right. God sowed the seed in him. You understand that? God sowed the seed. He had the right seed put into him. He had it. He had the right seed put in. See, this is a good picture of salvation. See, when a Christian, parable of the sower, a person gets the word in him, change your life, now you're going to bear fruit of that word. He didn't bear fruit of the word. He didn't bother doing that. What does it leave him at? His judgment, folks, is not because God was being just mean. He is going to reap what he has sown. He's going to reap what the... He choked those words out of forgiveness. And he took the love of money and let that grow up in him. Now, this is the fruit of the love of money. This is one thing as people need to understand. America's in a lot of trouble in this area, and there's fruit that's going to be coming because of this stuff. This love of money thing. This is why we got $36 trillion of debt. This isn't just about getting debt fixed. People better get their attitude straight. Because why? Those seeds are going to produce. You can't stop it. Here we go. Listen, verse 34. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So he says, "So now listen, so my heavenly Father also will do to you, oh, if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." You know, that should be a real warning to people. It's like, whoa, you know what? I think I'm going to be Mr. Forgive. What do you think? Shall I tell you what? A lot of Christians don't realize. They're in the hands of the torturer. Mm-hmm. They're in the hands of... There's Christians I know, they're in the hands of torture. They're tortured in their minds. They walk around, there's unforgiven stuff. They walk around with it. The devil has active... I never met a person who has unforgiveness problems, don't have health problems. Never met one. It eats at you. Gets at you. See, you understand, our human body, thank God for the Holy Spirit that's in us and quickens us and makes us alive. But you need to understand this. God designed the human body to withstand things of disease and stuff. We have an immune system. You know, you need to understand this. God knew men were going to sin. Why would he have built a body with an immune system in if he didn't think Mary's going to never need it?
That's right.
God's smart. It's people aren't very bright. I mean, I always wonder why people didn't figure that out. I never had anybody preach that to me. I just came, I looked, I thought, well, you know what? God made our body to be able to withstand stuff. Well, then stuff was going to happen, and he knew it. But you need to understand. You can't walk around with unforgiveness and all this kind of stuff and things, and your immune system work right. Natural studies have proved that. Science has proved that. People and that stuff, holding stuff and things, what it does to them and their health. Their mental health and their body's health. Be a forgiver. Why? It's health. Read Proverbs, what it says about things, about life and health. See, you follow the word, it's life and health to you. See, you want healing? There's a lot of things you would never have to even ask healing for if you just walk over here in the areas of life and health. Get in the word, walk in the areas of life and health. Do what the word says. You know, we're just going to walk in that areas of life and health. This is what we're going to do. We're not going to get in all those dark places. We're not going to go over that other stuff there. I'm going to go sit under the tree of that other stuff over here. I'm going to stay out in the sunlight of the Word. Let's stay out here. Why? For my body's health.
Amen.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That man's tongue, he's reaping the reward. See, he can't say, well God forgave me and now he gave it back. No, I'm sorry. He did that. God didn't do that. He did it. This is how the kingdom works. It's how the kingdom works. I found this out. It's like I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Don't blame God. You know, my trouble was Ed. My trouble was Ed. Sometimes he still is. Thank God he forgives. And he's a wonderful forgetter. Hallelujah. But I've learned, I don't blame God. I don't blame God. If anybody loves me and wants my best, it's him. If anybody bends over backwards trying to do good to Ed, it's him. If anybody has reached out further and further, I sometimes think he ran further to me than the guy ran to the prodigal son, Randy's son. I think he did a marathon sometimes. He saw it a long off. And he ran to him. Hallelujah. But that's the way he is.
Amen.
You learned it right. But you understand this. It's the way he is to others too. And you know what? You want to be an extension of his in that love. You'll be in the same manner. Person does wrong and they come to you about to say, yeah, hey, forget it. I forget. Hey, I forgive you. Don't matter. But we understand this support. He's writing. Now understand this. Jesus is talking to the Jews. These are his covenant people. These are how covenants operate. This wasn't for the rest of the world. This didn't apply to the rest of the world out there. This is about covenant people. That's why we come over to the church. This is about us and our covenant with God here. The church today does everything toward the world. And they let the church just fall apart.
Come on.
We want to reach the world. My God, when are we going to reach the church?
Amen.
The church is first. Not the world. See, I want to reach the world. I want to reach the church. If anything, as I found out as a pastor in ministry, we need to reach the church. The church from Malaysia is really in shambles.
Amen.
People and their ideas and what they believe. And the devil's having a heyday with people.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the church world, they're as sick or maybe more than the world is. Why? Because the devil has interest. And if anything he wants to do, he wants to shut down the church. He owns the world.
Yep.
But he's shutting down the church.
Mm-hmm.
He's making the church. Like, no, God don't take care of his people. It's because of the gospel that we've been preached is not a gospel of power. It's a get-by gospel. And we're just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to have money in my pocket. I'm just trying to feel good. I just want to have a good vacation. And I just want, you know, that's what I want to have. You know, I just want a nice life. And you know, I just want to lay back and have somebody over me and giving me figs and waving a palm branch over me. And I just, you know, that's all I'm asking for. You know? Oh, my. You know, people talk about life being hard. You know, I'll just be honest. Living in a world that we do, there are things that are hard. And hardness is hard on your flesh.
Right.
And that's what people are trying to avoid. The things that discomfort our flesh, that bother our feelings and bother those things. Those things that they are. It is out here. Those go on. But, you know, we need to understand. You have the ability to walk in forgiveness. You have the ability to do that.
Amen.
It's not something. Don't pray for it or about it. Go get into the Word and believe and start saying you have it.
Amen.
Start talking like you have the ability.
Amen.
You start talking that ability and something comes along that's really severe against you, you know what? You won't hold things against people. But if you wait till that happens and then you start going through your little religious game, then, you know, well, I'm trying to forgive. Well, just forget it. Don't bother, you know.
Amen.
Just get down the bar and you know, have a drink and, you know, pray, you know, cry in your sorrows. Because it ain't going to work. This is something, this is a life. This is the life of faith.
Amen.
We talk about, you know what? I don't feel like I have forgiveness. I don't care what I feel like. I don't live by what I feel or see.
Right.
The Bible says I can forgive. There's not another thing to say about the subject.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
My feelings can't enter in because it ain't faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not faith. Well, they hurt my feelings. Dear Lord, I've hurt my feelings already. Do you ever have to forgive yourself for being so stupid?
Amen.
What did I do that to me for? My God, am I dumb. I don't know why I tried that. I knew it wasn't going to work. I just... Did you ever do something that was a little bit dangerous and you got hurt? And after you were done, saying, man, what did I ever do that for? Was I ever so stupid to think I could get away with that? Well, I would have had to go, it took me half an hour to go over here and get the thing I needed to go do that, but, you know, my life is so important that I got to get over here. Now I get to limp around for 2 months because I know you guys never did that. I'm just a dumb guy that's done that. I could tell you more than one story.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. But I hope you see this thing here about forgiveness. It's purpose. It's about restoration. This is the point of it. It's restoration. It's not me being right or you being right. It's about restoring. Restoring people in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Especially these major sins we talked about. These things of people. This is a major door to the devil to destroy lives. Sexual immoralities has ruined families and stuff and things going on and all that kind of stuff. You know, people need to understand this about sin. You get over into some sins. You know, God will forgive you of anything, but, you know, people may never, and you can't do nothing about that. Good luck. And on the other side of it, even getting forgiven don't mean the things you did in the flesh you're not going to have to put up with. There's things that you do in the flesh. You know, a little girl gets pregnant. You know, God will forgive her if she went out and messed around. But I'm going to tell you, the baby don't disappear because...
Right.
It might go some real trouble in life to get things straightened out and get things back in order again. Mm-hmm. See, those things go on. People think, I know Christians. I mean, I minister in prisons. I mean, I worked in one. Christians, things that Christians did messed up their lives immensely. God forgive them. I always told them, God will forgive you anything you did. But there's still, you're going to have to deal with consequences about in this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness don't make everything, they all think today, well, you forgive me, then I shouldn't have to put up with any consequences. This is a crazy teaching in the church.
Yeah.
It's not. This is why you want to learn to keep your flesh under, because your flesh may cause you problems that you deal for years and years with. And there are some people, they never got over it. You don't want to be stupid. I mean, I ministered to a guy, Moundsville Penitentiary. Born again, spirit-filled man. Got off into sin, got back into boozing and drinking and stuff. Killed his wife and kids. Do you know what? I mean, he repented. I mean, and this guy, he was in prison following God. I mean, he was preaching and he was good. But you know the whole thing of it is, you know what? All that forgiveness didn't bring his mom, bring his wife and kids back. So you got that all your life. This is what you did. You know, he'll be in heaven for sure. Do you know, I just want to say this. He was born again, got drunk, did his crazy things. If he'd have died then, he'd have went to heaven. People say, well, let God let him have that? Well, if he don't let him in, he should never let you in. Well, you're so perfect. It's good preaching, Ed.
Hallelujah.
You know, he got over and let his... Some people let their flesh go further.
Yeah.
But yet their flesh. In his heart, he never left God.
Amen. That's right.
He never left God. He never denounced Christ or anything. He just got over it and the flesh dominated. See, you can go too far and your flesh lets your flesh dominate you.
Yeah.
Most people ain't spiritual enough to break their fellowship with God from the standpoint they wouldn't go to heaven. Most Christians ain't ever spiritual enough to do that. They don't know enough. God, hold them accountable. I'm serious. And I'm just downright serious about it. We need to be very careful in these things. But I'm just telling you, that's why we keep our flesh under. Forgiveness is a big thing of keeping your flesh under, keeping your flesh around things that are happening. You know, I notice it's one thing. Because we have so much, especially, I think, you know, Christians watching sometimes maybe so much about the news and different things going on. You have to be very careful in these areas. Because how you take things and how you look at things and stuff. You got to be very careful about what you read media. Media, they're in the money-making business. You might think they're news business. They ain't about news. They're about making money. They're about making the most exciting story that they can. Usually has the worst stuff in it, you know. Why is conservative news keep printing to us and telling us stories about what the crazies are doing, you know, the liberals? You know, I don't watch CNN. Why should I have to go listen to what CNN says if I want to go over and look at their stuff? They're telling us what these people did. Why do you think they do that? Well, they don't do that because of love for America.
That's right.
They're not doing that because you're conservative. They just know that most conservatives will do stupid stuff. And they want to be in the argument. I'm not in the argument.
Amen.
I'm out of it.
Yep.
Most Christians' prayers have got this America into a mess in their prayers. And should I tell you why? Because people are praying and asking God on the basis of what they want instead of what God wants. They don't find out what God wants. They're sitting and praying, well, this ought to go, he ought to do this or that. You know, I'm praying so I don't get discomfort. No, Lord God, don't let them do that. It might affect my wallet. Or it might affect this. See, what does God want? You sure can't look at the news to tell what honestly is happening. This is why Trump's hard to follow for people.
Right.
And you know what? I don't try to direct Trump's life. I want God to. Because you know what? Trump has to deal with what none of us have to deal with.
Amen.
And ain't one of you got enough sense to say what he ought to do unless God would tell you. I gave up. I'm not trying to direct. I just, God, thank you. Number one, I believe this with all my heart. God put him in this place, and God's hand is upon us. I don't know if you any of you listened last night at 10 o'clock. He did that thing, and the way he ended it. My God, he hair-lipped all of them. I tell you. You know, he ends it with God bless the Middle East, and God bless Israel, and God bless America. You know, he ends with that. I'm just sure of it. The liberal. Then there's conservatives. Oh, he shouldn't have said he's going to get people riled up, you know. Oh, keep that religion down there in the White House somewhere. We don't want to have it out there too much. I just depressed. He ended without it. I said, thank God. But see, I believe God's hand's on that man.
Yes.
And I believe God's directing him in spite of Ed.
Yes.
I'm convinced he was not put in that office because of the church.
Nope.
Yes. I am convinced. I'm convinced that God, in His great mercy, just like He sent Jesus to die on the cross, He didn't do it because men wanted saved. Hallelujah. You know what? God just gets in His mind sometime, I'm going to deliver Him in spite of Him. And I'm, thank God He does it. Hallelujah. That's the love of our God. And I want you to understand, that love's in you.
Amen.
That love's in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah, in spite of them, let's bless them.
Praise God.
And I, you know, I thank Him for that. I do that all the time. I say to God, God, I just want to thank You for doing what we could have never done. Thank You so much for putting Your hand on a man and setting him here for us. Because this ain't natural what this man does.
That's right.
Sitting in the middle of politicians and not being a politician. How do you do that? That's what I thought. They're all nervous. He's not telling everybody what he's going to do. Oh my God! All the rest of, you know what? All these people, all we've had is politicians trying to get people's approval.
That's right.
He didn't move by polls. I'm going to tell you what, there's hardly a Republican that ain't moved by his polls all the time.
Yeah.
I find this very interesting. He appointed all these people, the secretaries of state, like Rubio and those different, and these guys don't care about the polls at all. You tell me this ain't God? I never saw an administration like this.
Right.
My time, Ronald Reagan wasn't close to this.
Amen, that's right.
I talk about Reagan and his great... If Reagan would have been sitting in the middle of this today, he'd have been moved more by politicians than what he is. God established this. This is God's hand on a person. And I just do this, God. God, I don't know what He's supposed to do, but I am trusting You. You're working in Him.
Amen.
You're doing something outside of my mind. He's doing things that is affecting this whole earth. Can you imagine? I said to a guy yesterday, he's talking about this. I said, do you realize? I said, the whole world is stopping and looking at this man. I said, all the nations of the earth are stopping. They're not, what's he doing? Well, how does that happen? Men don't make that happen. See, he's not dominated by them. They don't know what to do with this. He's not interested in their opinions. He has a direction that he's going. They don't understand this. They don't understand that somebody has an agenda, they don't compromise.
That's right. This,
the church compromises their positions all the time. They'd give up Jesus in a minute if they thought they got, you know, $50 more for it. You know, they just, you know, well, to do this, it looks good. You know, they'll think we're doing good. You know, it's just, No. To do right, he doesn't need people's opinions. He does what he... If this ain't supernatural, I ain't never seen it. Washington don't know what to do with this. They don't know how to act with it. They don't know what to say. And you know what? Every time they haul his people off down to Congress and one of their, you know, they question him, and their answers are about, well, this is what the president wants. Can you imagine? We never had anybody from any other administration said, no, we're just doing what the president wants. We're on the president's side. We're going to do it. All the rest of them go down and give you their opinion. They don't have one. Could you imagine if the church was like that, how far we'd go? No, we got 450 billion opinions.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Now you tell me that ain't God working. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I always like to look at those, read those articles. They call one of the people out in his cabinet or one of them or the other, and they said, and the reporters asked a question. Well, we're just doing, the president wants this done, we're just going to do this, what the president wants.
Yeah.
I was like, who's ever said that? See, it's amazing because, see, the unity, that power, that's the power in the church that the church don't have because they don't have unity.
Yeah.
Glory to God. We're not unified around men's opinions. Let's get unified around the Bible, about the Word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. That is our glory and that's our power. That's our, because in it is everything that God has given to us, not what we're trying to get. This, the words of this covenant we have is our inheritance. It's what belongs to us, not what we're trying to get. You need to get that in yourself. You're not trying to get any blessing. It's your inheritance. It is already belongs to you. Whenever you think about the scripture, and people do, I always say, no, God already gave us that. That already belongs to me. I'm just going to receive it. The Bible never tells you to believe for anything. It tells you to believe you receive. When you get saved, you don't ask God to save you. He already did that. We need to tell people you need to receive your salvation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You receive it. You don't ask for it. You receive it. See, we preach a gospel. We're trying to get God to do something. So what happens? If we don't believe he's already done it, then you're asking for it. You're going to wait for a goosebump or a feeling to think you got it. It's like healing. They do the same thing. Well, if I feel better, then he must have gave it to me. They don't believe they receive it. They have to have a feeling. They got to have something to believe they got it. Don't work that way. That ain't faith. Faith is believe I got something. I'm going to tell you what. I got everything this book has promised me.
Amen.
The Lord spoke to me this a couple years ago about promises in the Word. See, all the promises are yes and amen. And I was looking at that. The Lord said to me, he said, what I promised I'd do for men in the old covenant and the new covenant, he said, still stands. He said, I'll do for men whatever I said. All the promises. Well, so I found this out. Man, I gotta see what's more has been mine. Man, I have a better inheritance than I thought it did. It's more glorious than I thought it was. I thought I really had a good one. Well, I did, but I didn't realize I didn't know how good it was. Hallelujah. It's great. It's great.
Amen.
And it's all been given to you. And every time you look at a promise, what you do is God said he's going to do this. If you do this, it's like Mike read this morning. The Word says, you know, you get out here and you labor and work, you're going to get rich. It says that. Well, that's yours. So when you go to work, don't you ever complain, oh, they're just taking money, they're just doing this to me. You're a knucklehead. You're a problem. You're making yourself poor. You're your own trouble.
Amen.
The Bible says if I labor, I'm going to get rich.
Amen.
I've been laboring and getting wealthier and wealthier. We're getting better and better.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it's true. I don't see the ants. We're worried about the ants. You know? Are the ants whining and crying about, well, I got to work today. And I just, well, I'll tell you, the queen's just laying around over there pumping eggs out. I got to watch. She's over there taking care. They bring food to her. I got to go out here and carry that big thing and drag it back in here. My God. I ought to get paid more than that guy does. I just, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, this guy can preach. I'll tell you. No. But Mike read's true. You labor, I'm getting richer.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm laboring, so I'm getting richer. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet.
Hallelujah.
You folks are so blessed. It is phenomenal. You are. You're blessed.
Yes, blessed.
Not going to be.
I am.
You're not trying to get blessed.
Amen.
It's already pronounced. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's all been given to you. All. You're blessed. Hallelujah. But see, claim the blessings as yours. You know, you might not be able to, you know, there's some things, even concerning my health, I was, some things, you know, coming, trying to get on me. And I realized that this, I was going along and I'm thinking, you know, I'm talking about walking to faith. But I realized I had a very, not a very tight grip on it. I'm making confessions. Well, I believe, you know, but all of a sudden it dawned on me and I, you know, because I was just going over some stuff and healing and stuff. I thought, you know, I ain't taking a hold of this thing. I haven't done it. Got a hold of it and changed it. My God. All this time I've been messing with it. You know, I've been playing that I'm believing game. But you know what? It wasn't a belief. I didn't take a hold. See, there's a faith that takes a hold of. You know, sometimes like pulling on a rope. Sometimes people put their hand on the rope and they call it having faith. But the devil can just jerk it right out of their hand anytime he wants to. But it's one thing when you take it out, hold of it and you jerk it out of his hand.
That's right.
Well, that's what I was messing around, playing my faith. I just had my hand on the rope. But you know what? My hand on the rope, oh, there was some faith involved in it, but it wasn't enough to jerk it out of the hand of the devil. It wasn't until I said, okay, that's it with this.
Amen.
Now I got, it's mine, I got it. This is my rope. You better let it alone, devil.
That's right.
Don't you ever come messing with my rope. I'll hang you with it. But see, it wasn't until I laid my hand on. Do you know, that's part of labor in the areas of dealing with your faith on the areas of healing. You're going to have to labor. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to apply your faith. You're going to have to work to make that stuff work. It just isn't making money to get rich. It's also for your healing. You've got to apply labor.
Yep.
Faith is labor. It is. It's a labor. But it's a good labor because faith will always produce to you what you want. So you always want to get over there and do that because it produces. See, don't get yourself over there. You might be at a certain level. Like with me, I find there's certain places I have a certain level of faith, but I realize there's something I want. I realize I got to step into higher. There's more I have to go to. Don't throw out what you got.
Yeah.
Let me say this concerning faith. This will help you. Use the faith that you have. You will never gain more faith. Just keep listening to the word until you use what you have. Faith does not grow by listening. Faith grows by doing. Don't ever diminish the faith that you have. I've had people say this to me about, well, I only have a little faith. Well, use that little faith. Never talk bad. If you have a little faith, you don't never knock it. Where did faith come from? It comes from God, from hearing His word. Faith is a gift of God to you and me. The reason you and I can believe is because God gave us His Word and we're able, it will give us the ability to take it and have faith.
Amen.
It comes from God. So if you say you have little faith, well, is a little faith, isn't it that good? Ain't good? It came from God. No, God gave me some lousy faith. I just don't. You plant the seed of the little you got. You put it in. You stand as much as you can. Always step out into it. Don't ever talk bad about, well, I don't have enough faith. I don't have. What you doing, what you got? Are you talking right about it? If the smallest seed of faith would produce a tree.
That's right.
Well, see, and this is the thing. We're over here, well, you know, I just only got a little bit. Well, what you doing with your little bit, you know? It's like, oh, I can't do much. I only got a little bit of money. Well, what you doing with the little bit you got?
Amen.
What are you doing with it?
Amen.
It's like adding everything. What's a little bit? We turn, you know, we only want to make a big deal, got a lot. I'm just so glad I got some faith. I'm just so glad that God was kind enough to let me over the Word and show it to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But my faith started off little. I always tell you guys, you know, first time Wanda and I believed for money, it was $20. Man, you might have asked me to believe for $2 million. That's what it was to me. It's like $20. Like, what? No, oh, believe $20. I've never seen anything like that happen, you know. So we needed $20, and hallelujah. God gave us, and he really did it spectacularly. Wanda's walking down the street in Lebanon, and a wind blows a $20 bill up to her feet. Now, you don't have that stuff happen all the time. You know, you don't have that kind of thing. But you know what? Because we stepped out as just baby Christians, we took our little teeny, teeny, tiny faith, and we just planted that with our mouth.
Yes.
We just planted. God's going to give us $20.
Amen.
I know people, Christians, for years, and they can't believe God for $20, and they're spirit-filled Christians and listen to faith stuff. They can only believe as far as whatever they get paid at work or whatever they get. That's all as far as they can believe. Outside of where they're at, hallelujah. See, I started believing outside of what I was getting, you know, work and stuff, hallelujah, because it wasn't enough. Hallelujah. You know what? There's money out there begging to come to Ed.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But see, it's your view of your opinion of things and that stuff. See, your little turns. You know what? You ain't going to ever have a lot of money if you never had little. It's all those littles that pile up.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
So let's just walk in faith, folks. Let's see ourselves over. See yourself greater than what you think. Don't get yourself in viewing yourself in the mirror of life. Go look in the mirror of the Word.
Yes.
See what you are. The mirror of life will always put you down. The mirror of life will always put limitations on you. That's what it does. But the mirror of the Word, hallelujah. Man, whenever things are going good in the outside, I look in the Word, then I get to see the champion. Hallelujah. I get to see the overcomer. Hallelujah. I get to see the one who is always victorious. Hallelujah. Always triumphs in Christ Jesus. That's the mirror of the Word. When I look in the mirror of the world, it's like, boy, am I going to make it? Are we going to? Look at all the things that are happening out here. Look what's going on out here. Look at all this stuff. Oh, my God. They're blowing up these plants over there with atomic stuff. Oh, my God. What is going on? What if we get in a big war? It'll have victory.
Amen. Yep. Hallelujah.
God changes not.
Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I fear not, and I am not going to. Anybody say, well, what could happen? Why are you sitting around and wondering about the what's?
That's right.
That's nothing but worry. Mm-hmm. That's nothing but trying to figure out in your mind, when your mind ain't big enough to figure out anyhow. You ain't that bright. We're starting to figure out, why not look what God said? Fear not, for I'm with you. Don't be afraid. You know, you'll never have in a Bible where an angel appeared to somebody and said, my God, watch out, you're in trouble. Boy, you did it now. They always came with fear not. Don't be afraid. God don't have a fear message for the church.
Amen.
Because the church does good enough. You don't have to send one. They'll make one up. But don't be you. Don't make the ones up. Don't be one of those who makes the ones up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God knows how to take care of you. He's still the strong tower that the righteous run in,
yes.
And they're safe.
Praise God.
That's Him.
Amen.
That's your God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh it.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Stand on it. See, you put your name to things. You put your name on it. That's what He wants you to do. You have the authority to put your... He ain't going to put your name on it if you ain't. You put your name on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in and going out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're blessed in the body and the fruit of your body. Hallelujah. And in your basket and whatever else. Hallelujah. You're blessed. And you're not under a curse.
Right.
The curse doesn't belong. You've been redeemed from the curse. It is no longer yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's you. That's who you are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Seems like a fantasy, but it's not. It's true.
Amen.
All things are possible to him that believeth. This age that I live in, and never how far it goes, or Jesus comes back or whatever, I'll tell you, I'm going to live in triumph.
Amen.
I'm going to live in victory. I'm only going to tell you, many people won't, but I will. God's going to uphold me.
Amen.
Because he don't lie. He said he would.
Yes.
He said if I'd fell down seven times, he'd make me stand.
Amen.
See, seven is a number of completion. I can fall down and everybody can say, well, he's done. God said, I'm making him stand. God will make me stand. But you know what? I ain't worried about falling.
Right.
You know, well, what if I miss it? Oh, dear Lord, who cares? God will make me stand.
Amen.
He's big enough.
Yes.
You won't fall near as much if you quit worried about falling. What if I make a mistake? Right. Well, darn, you know, who cares? Why worry about what ain't happened?
Right.
What ifs? What ifs is a good sign of unbelief. Let's walk and live in this place. Hallelujah. You're given the victory. You're not going to get it. It's given. What you do is you receive it. Receive your victory. Hallelujah. Receive yourself as overcoming. Hallelujah. No matter what you're doing today or whatever you're involved in and doing, you consider yourself being blessed. You don't talk any other way about it. I'm blessed. No matter what I mean, it doesn't matter what's looking around and men are doing and whatever's happening. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God's blessing me. I'm being blessed. Keep your mind, set your mind on things above where Christ sits at the right hand. Keep your mind on the heavenly thoughts of the Word, of what the Word says about you. Keep yourself on there. You're not going to walk around Jericho if you just keep looking at what's going on around you.
That's right.
God gave words to a man. And that man gave those words to the people. And those people came out victorious because they followed that words of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
We have words in a book that guys gave us.
Yes.
And if it ain't working for you, it ain't their fault.
Yep.
Yes.
When Israel followed the words, Jericho fell.
Amen.
The greatest city in that land, the walls fell. All because what? They obeyed the words of the guy God told. Well, I got a book of guys God talked to. And I'll tell you what, they have become my words. And this is what we got to do. Follow those words. And I'll tell you what, whatever walled cities before you ain't nothing. That walls will come down. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you today. Hallelujah. You've made us overcomers. You've done it yourself. You've done it through your wonderful Son, Jesus. Father, we just want to glorify Jesus today. We want to magnify Him. Jesus, I am just so thankful. Because what you did for us in your death, burial, and resurrection is so beyond measure of thought of the human mind. Lord God, I'm glad you gave us a wonderful spirit to be able to understand and comprehend these things. Because, Lord God, our mind can't... It's hard to grasp and mentally of your great goodness, mercy, and kindness. But my heart so rejoices in your goodness and mercy. My heart knows it's all true and it's all real. And it is exactly what you said it would be. My heart knows it. And I just want to thank you. Oh, you've given us the ability through the new birth to see what men have never been able to see or know. Oh, that the men and women of the past, Lord God, who walked in the old covenant, the ones who believed and looked down to the end, they looked all that they could be in the day that we're in. This day of the born again human being in the earth, that people would have a spirit like God. Hallelujah. To be able to walk in the life and the fullness of God. What a phenomenal thing. That men would have the thoughts of God on their mind. It's not something we're trying to find, but it was to be given to us by the glorious Spirit. That men wanted to build temples where God could come, a place where they could go to. But your plan was that all men could be temples of God. That God's very Spirit would come and live in us. Oh, my words. Hallelujah. I want to thank you today, Lord God. I just thank you so much that your Spirit is working mightily in each one today. I thank you that life of that Spirit is working mightily right now. quickening and making alive their body, Lord God. Their minds are being quickened right now. Their thoughts are being quickened. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wrong thoughts and things that are in the mind are being driven out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the pure thoughts of the Word rising up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Taking preeminence. Preeminence over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, Your glory is rising up big in them. The life. We were talking about the fire on the inside. I want to thank You. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You because, Lord, You're throwing gas on the fire. Hallelujah. Lord, the candle days are gone. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank You for an enormous brush fire. Hallelujah, born. Lord, just as far as fire sweep across the land, Lord, so it shall be in the church that the fire of God burn through the lives of Christians on fire, burning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, Lord and glorified. I want to thank You for it. Father, You're rising. The giant is rising up and the church is the giant in the earth. But I tell you what, Lord, I want to thank You because there's a life and awakening going on. Hallelujah. There's a shaking in this world. And Lord God, it's one that You're doing. You're shaking things up. Lord, I thank You. Lord, we just don't decide in our own minds to get back in. Lord, You prompt us and move us by Your Spirit. Lord, we're hungry for You because Lord God, You made us hungry for You. Lord God, You're the one that dangles the food before us. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, and we get glimpses of that heavenly food and we take bites of it and say, my God, that ain't enough yet. That's not enough. And Lord God, I want to thank You. Thank You for so dangling that before us. And oh, making us hungry, saying, my God, I ain't going to eat any more of that stuff I've been eating. We're going after this. Hallelujah. This will be our food. This will be our life. I thank You, Lord God. Thank You for being so merciful to us. Hallelujah. Thank You for working in us. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, wonderful things, glorious things, arising up. Hallelujah. 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 For these are the days of a quickening. There's a quickening and a life-giving force of the Spirit that is in the church. And God's hand is reaching forth in this day and in this time. And He's stirring up. He's stirring up the coals that have already been in you and have been there. Some have laid sort of dormant. Oh, it's just been a warmth there. But now that has changed, says the Lord. For now fire will burn again. For I am moving, says the Lord, and I'm bringing things to order. I'm bringing things to My order, not to men's order. Men's thinking, they will look and say, wow, that doesn't seem right. Even some of My people will sit and say, no. But I say in this day and time, My will and purpose is going to be set forth. Because this earth will shortly be Mine. I will step on this place and I will set things in order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For no longer long for the things of men, but long for the heavenly things. Because I have great things to reveal and show to you. I have great things that I will show that glory beyond the measure of what men have walked for and walked into in times past. You shall see it with your eyes. Your heart will see it and your mind will have a hard time and you will say, could that really be real? And your inner man will say, yes, that's God's working. That's God's doing. Hallelujah. And you will walk in a place. You will see and know it. The spirit of seeing and knowing will come to prominence in the church. Hallelujah. The words of wisdom and knowledge will arise up in the church and it will be as normal among all of God's people who follow Him that it will not seem like a special gift at all. It will be the norm in the church. God's people will know My doing and My working. They will know and be able to see and judge and understand things ahead of time. Hallelujah. Not waiting till things show up. They will know before it shows up and already have the answer to it. They will be prepared. For I have said in this time, for those who long for Me and search for Me, I will pour out great, 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 great blessing upon them to know and understand. Hallelujah. So reach out for it and take it today. Claim it as yours. Claim it that it will operate through you. Claim it that it belongs because it does belong to you. For all that are hunger and thirst, I will fill them. For all that long for My goodness and My power, I will pour it, hallelujah, upon you in full measure. Hallelujah. That My glory can be revealed in this earth. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, do You have anything else that You'd like to do? Hallelujah. Anything You'd like to do? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it just, this keeps coming up in me is something that because of teaching this morning, the Lord had spoken to me earlier this morning about it, is our dealing in the areas of our confession. Our confession about forgiveness is we need to, and that's made sense about it, we won't be people ever put on our mouths that we can't forgive. You don't want to ever put that on your mouth. You don't want to say, or even say the things, I have a hard time forgiving. You know, people say things like that all the time, and they act like it's, you know, a thing of humble, like I'm really working on this. You don't work to forgive. It's in you. It's in you. Get that in yourself.
Amen.
And be one to say that. And let's say that. Say this. I can forgive.
I can forgive.
No matter what anybody does.
No matter what anybody does.
No matter what they say.
No matter what they say.
I can forgive.
I can forgive.
It is my nature to forgive.
I'm just like God.
Oh boy, people didn't say that as loud as they did the other ones. Well, whether you like it or not, you're just like God. You can forgive with His love. You have the same love He got.
Amen. I'm just like God.
I'm just like God. I have His love.
I have His love.
I can forgive just like He does.
I can forgive just like He does.
That's my nature.
That's my nature.
I'm a forgiver.
I'm a forgiver.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See, when you see people being like God, boy, Christians get nervous. Well, if you ain't like Him, you ought to get saved. You'll become like Him. Hallelujah. We're like He is.
Amen.
That's right.
He made us like He is. We have His nature. I'm just like my daddy.
Amen.
It's just like children. You know when they start off? You know what? People say, oh, man, they look just like, you know, they look like their dad or look like their mom. They'll say those kind of things. And you know what? Then they grow up acting like it. You know, but they don't start off looking that way. Then after a while you start seeing that they're just like them. You know, when you first start off, you might not look too much like God, but if you grow, you'll start looking more like Him.
Amen.
See, Christians turn around and try to measure themselves. It's just like a little child. You would measure that little child to being like his dad, you know, and he's 3 weeks old. But you know, he's 15 and doing what dad did, don't say, well, just like his dad. Hope I was good. But anyhow, but see, seeing with growth. See, don't ever, no, I'm just like my dad.
Amen.
Well, I sure ain't saying that because I'm perfect like God. Mm-hmm. But I ain't ever going to get better at it calling myself something else.
Amen.
Well, I'm trying to be like, I don't try to be like my daddy. It's in my nature to become like Him. If I follow the Word and do the Word, it'll just automatically come, you know. You know, if I eat food and do a little exercise and stuff, I'll grow up one day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're really trying to make this happen, you know. That's what Christianity does, and it's weird. No, it's our nature to grow up like our Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's why you got to live by faith, because you got to look at each other. You say, my God, they don't look like God. We should walk by faith. We go, hey, don't, why? But you know what? If we could all see each other in the Spirit, you'd change what you thought immediately.
Yeah.
You'd see yourself in the light of what you are in the Spirit and see others
Amen.
In.
Amen.
You say, my God, we're like God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, some of us outside look better than others. Some of us, yeah, we need help. So, you know, hallelujah. But inside, I'm pretty.
Amen.
Inside, I'm pretty. And I'm big and strong on the inside.
Amen.
And you know what? I haven't gained 1 second of age since I've been born again.
Amen.
My inner man hasn't gained. It's renewed every day. It's renewed every morning. It's renewed. Has not aged. My inner man never ages. It's just like God. It's eternal. God ain't some old guy sitting on a chair somewhere up there, and you know, yeah, this old guy sitting there with a beard, you know, and his things. And he's smart. He don't have to shave. He ain't God getting up in the morning, he's in the mirror, just thinking. So many people, though, have their ideas about God, you know. Hallelujah. Glory. He's eternal, and we've been made eternal like Him.
Amen.
Non-aging.
Amen.
To your inner man, there is no distance nor time. Oh, that's about the body. Your inner man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why your inner man, if we learn to hook up with God, we can reach out further and do more. It's phenomenal. Because we get our minds out of the natural realm and our limitations in the natural. Because there's limitations in the natural. Mm-hmm. But the spirit man, that's why the Bible says all things are possible to him to believe it. You know what? That's a statement I ain't got a hold of yet. Yeah. If you say you did, your faith would be a whole lot further than what it is. He said, think about that statement. All things are possible to him to believe it. Like, man, I need to gain more knowledge about this. It's greater than I thought. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, Lord bless you. Have yourself a glorious week because there's glory in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.